So bad.
Yeah, we'll do an intro for you.
Yeah.
This is the story of Gridge's wandering hero and Gridge's trying to find his own cage.
So,
go.
The cage was placed by myself with Helen there, and it was facing one of the gum trees. So when I was like, that was fine. So when I went back with David, there's two like gum trees, like maybe 10 meters apart, if not more. And I sent him up, and he was like, "Oh, you find it," sort of thing. And then all of us, we were searching around. I was like, "Oh, it's too hard. I give up." So I went back and sat in the car, and this guy, like always, doesn't give up. And then I was like, "No." Nah. So we gave up. We come back. I don't know when we went to border track trip. Dave and I went past again, and I was like, "Yeah, it's in this tree." And in about a minute, they're like, "There it is." And it was just like, because we had the wrong tree.
Yeah, so I roughly went to where the corners were, and then I climbed up in the tree, and I'm asking Gridge, I'm like, "Where is it?" Sort of thing. He's like, "Oh," and he's like, I can't see it. It's like, it's really small though. Then. And I'm like, "Well, look, I'm going through every, I couldn't get any higher," sort of thing, without breaking and you know, yeah, compromising my own weight on the tree. And yeah, and then anyway, I logged a DNF, and that obviously caused an uproar at, you know, the person who had a first of find had his own cage, couldn't find it, and then had subsequent finds pretty quickly afterwards.
Yeah, Helen asked me if I could replace the cage.
Oh, really? She was convinced that.
She was convinced that you too. And I said, let's wait and see.
Yeah, let's wait to a string of DNFs eventually.
Yeah. Because you have been to... halfway up the Eagle, where there were two cache containers on the ground, and you found neither of them.
Which one?
A cache called Halfway Up the Eagle.
Do you remember that one after the Free the Bugs? We went back up, and
that we were like, which side of the?
Yeah, which, but can't say for our audience that had questionable coordinates.
Yeah.
And
there's like a cliff that faces a drop on that
side. And on the cliff's edge is where the poster coordinates were, so hence we scaled quite significantly to try and find
it. You didn't go far enough up the cliff, because it was on the second level.
There's a lot of coordinate dodginess goes on to fit other caches nearby in.
Sometimes.
Or you find a bob cache that's 20 metres out.
Yeah, and that was a pretty bad one. We went to BFE's easy one tonight, and
the coordinates are in the business.
Yeah, the coordinates are in the business, and like and every number of people, obviously.
Which one's
it?
It's a 1-2.
Where is it?
It's a real easy one, is what it's called.
There's only 285 bob ones.
Yeah,
so if you can't remember, yeah.
No,
I don't want to like give it away.
It's one of those real caches.
Yeah, that's right. Of his real series. It's near the creek with all the graffiti on it, but anyway, but yeah. Oh, there you go. I've got a wandering hero around me. Let's see what she said.
Who actually published it for you?
Michelle.
Michelle Hounds.
Did you see the logs on the essay 3x3 event?
Not yet.
Oh, some of them are fucking
shingle. Okay. Did the other cache get published?
Not that I saw. Bunchel did a round of publishing the other day. Oh, is it essay or is it?
No.
Bunchel did a round of publishing the other day, and it didn't come out then. So
no, it's in Victoria, because it's already had one go at being published in South Australia.
But
not back.
Gary came back the other day and he said, "No, I'm going to change it. So it's just to do with a border army thing, and I'm going to publish it on GCA as the Trump thing."
Oh, okay.
So it's not going to be the
was
whole.
It 3 kilometres from the border?
It was like 600 metres in. Because we remember we stopped and did my DNF, and you found that.
Oh, and then we only just had
and then
to
we it was like,
okay,
yeah, it was
so
600.
He can have it.
It's either side of the border is fine.
He can list it in Victoria.
But there's about 20 beta testers on this cache.
20? 50?
There was a lot of pages in.
Yeah. We were on the fourth page of the book.
And we were beta testers.
Oh, really?
And we all got given the final.
I don't think we're beta testers. I think we're...
We're finders.
Once you go beyond
the
beyond the back page, someone's going to rock up and be like,
"Need a new logbook."
First of fine. Logbook full.
Place through a logbook. And they didn't get to the virtual cache.
They didn't?
Nah. I was chatting to Gary.
Yeah.
And they...
Gary can't walk more than about 20 metres.
No, there was like Macamob.
There was a whole bunch of them, and they got to... They tried to get down through the fruit blocks.
I've tried that too. It doesn't work.
Well, look, we got through there without any problems, but that was Bill and I.
Did
they got down and the farmer came over and told them to go away.
Excuse me, Matt. You just go, I'm just trying to get to the point.
That's what they explained. They did actually even explain that, and he said he charges $100 for people.
I've heard that. I think I was reading that, actually, on the logs.
Yeah, $100 per car to get in there. Because
that's more than just geocaches go there. That's a spot for four-wheel drivers.
Is it through his property?
Yeah.
The riverfront, I don't think he is.
The riverfront is, but if you're coming
to get...
But is the road on his property?
There's no road.
There's no formal road.
There's no
formal road. Oh, so you just drive along...
Which is a shame. It's a shame there isn't, I don't know, like, if there's a dip, you know, between two properties, there's an opportunity for a track.
Yeah, no, there isn't. It's not like that.
Oh, okay.
It's not that sort of
thing. The actual thing is actually a national park or part of that.
The frontage is, but I don't think... Once you
and it joins into the national park where...
He can charge access because it's through his property.
Yeah, and you're on his farm tracks.
Higgins Cutting.
Yeah.
Where do you get to that?
So
that's in a national park.
You just
That's further
that
around.
National park goes all the way along the...
That's why you do it the proper way.
Which is by boat.
Yeah.
The hurdle way.
Did hurdle
walk,
do it by boat?
Walk the kilometre along the national park.
Yeah, we thought you can do it along
the...
But it's more than a kilometre. It's about 3 kilometres.
Is that far, isn't
it?
Yeah, I thought it was about three.
It would take the credit
.
For being the first.
They tried. They had a go. They were seriously intending to get in there. But
there was a lot of them. You've got some. Yeah. Did Locust go? Yeah, she would have went.
I don't know about
Macamob
would definitely.
Sat there and talked to the farmer while the rest of them just wandered in and found the cache. So we chapped on the way out.
Distraction. Just run a distraction.
What's he going to do?
Shoot you.
Oh yeah, but he's not going to have that many bullets. Yeah, and then he's a murder. 20 geocaches shot dead. I was trying to get to the corner.
Virtual cache.
But nah, it's definitely a paddle. I'll paddle to it.
I'd rather walk 3 k's than paddle 5 k's. Put it that way.
Well, one. The river will flow, you'll get pushed back. And there's two other caches that are nearby that you can get. See, which one's on the other side of the river?
Yeah, but that's the paddle straight across.
That's fine.
Yeah, but you've got to carry a kayak for...
No,
you can drive
to the start of that one.
Paddle across the river.
So you can drive to Jeepers Creepers, because Jeepers Creepers is...
In the national park.
Is in park.
Yeah, and then
just
paddle up the river.
And then you paddle up the river from there.
Or you can go to...
and paddle across the river and do Higgins.
Coach House...
Launch at the coach house.
And then
About a 5 kilometre or
That's about a 5 kilometre paddle.
Yeah. That's alright.
I'd rather walk 3 k's, it's easier.
Or the other one that you can park at is the northernmost cache in Victoria. What's that called?
Yeah, Victoria North.
Yeah, I know that one.
Yeah. So
you actually park at that though? I got to within about 400 metres and just got stuck by a fence and thought,
That's pretty much where I didn't drive to it. In fact, we parked at the top of the hill, so I made Helen walk down the hill, which she didn't have any problem with, but walking back up the hill was a bit of a stretch.
A cardiac rest.
Well, just driving back up the hill was a bit of a stretch.
But from there you would then have your 5 kilometre paddle would now be a 3 kilometre walk. I think from whatever direction you come from, it's going to be about a 3k walk.
So you reckon going to Jeepers Creepers and then come in?
It's a straight. You can walk in basically a straight line of the cache.
Are we talking about the virtual or the Jeepers
Creepers? Virtual.
If
you park your Jeepers Creepers, you can walk in a straight line of the cache.
Are there any geocaches which own a ultralight or
you mean
a helicopter pilot?
Money Dogs hired a helicopter pilot for the day before.
Yeah, they hired one in New Zealand.
Oh, right. That was going to be the next.
Is that to get caches on top of the mountains?
Yeah, I think it was the first to find.
Ah, really?
Yeah.
That's expensive.
Yeah, obviously.
I don't know. I don't know whether they went there, did the cache, and then went home with him, or he dropped them in there and then they walked out. Mm. That's
they walked in the direction. It was a snow covered mountain, wasn't it?
Was that what it was?
Mm.
Okay. You need to get Money Talk in here, he'll tell you that story.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. The real truth of it. We can make up a story about it. But it won't be the truth. There's a whole bunch of Wandering Heroes caches out there.
Where's yours? There's a cache out there that is not going to ever get published.
Oh, I need to...
That's not getting published because there's a cache
there. I need to retrieve mine that I placed it and then came up with a better idea for a container. In the meanwhile, obviously people added to the trail and must have, like, yeah, must be between two caches.
Mm.
So I actually drafted those, as in the coordinates are actually in the system and obviously it just got...
He doesn't care.
Yeah, there's no lockdowns at the moment.
Mm.
So, which is fine. I need to get back
there. It's a pain in the ass because if you go all that way to place a cache and then he goes, no, publish this.
Get with it. That stuff around for months on end.
Yeah, there's a cache. Come on, Dave.
Go on.
Months on end. It was 4 weeks.
Did you put yours in?
Which one?
The ones we put out.
It's been published.
One of them's just been published.
Which
two
one?
Two of them just been published.
Maybe another one's just been published.
Did you? Is minus four being published?
No.
Did you put the DTs I asked for?
You got two out of three.
Oh.
Yeah, there was one that I...
Wasn't happy. Williamstown. This is that.
He wanted a 5, 3.5. That I couldn't do.
Yes, you could.
No.
That multi.
No.
That was easily
no.
done.
I did you a 1.5. 3.5.
Yeah.
And
because
I did you a 1, 3.5.
A 1, 3.5 and a 1.5, 3.5.
Yeah, so the 1, 3.5.
The 1.5, 3.5 puzzle, there's not many of them.
Well, both those have been published.
Oh, the puzzle got published.
Yeah, the puzzle.
Oh, there's also... Oh,
so
that trad...
So the puzzle is called The Number of the Beast.
Was it a puzzle? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not...
It's a nice, easy puzzle. And it's for Money Dork, because Money Dork's a metal fan.
Uh-huh.
I think Iron Maiden might actually. He's a Slipknot fan.
Uh-huh.
So, Iron Maiden's probably a bit too commercial for him.
Chewilla bonus track bonus.
Yes. So, we'll see
Only the people that have done the other one will understand.
Mm.
So, you can wait to Maydor goes and finds that before you get that one published.
The other one?
No, the other one's in the system, mm-hmm. but that's the one Bungle's knocked back because they said you have to have something at.
But if you've done a 50 meter arc on a footy field,
well,
times that by an unknown figure projection, just put it on the 50 meter arc of the head stadium and say there's something at the posted, may cost you a ticket to the AFL.
What's the fight for running on the ground?
Yeah, but it's Etihad Stadium, the roof's shut, so probably you can't see it on Google Earth.
That's all right.
It's only available in business hours.
Only available for 3 hours per week.
Well, or unless you happen to be an AFL player.
Or, no, this...
Because those AFL players...
Do not visit the list of locations. A penalty of $10,000 may occur for running on the field.
We'll see how
if you had a cache placed near a place with a flat roof, how big would a smiley face have to be painted on the roof for Google satellite imagery to pick it up?
Yeah. Not very.
Depends where you are. In the city, it's a lot more detailed.
Yeah,
in the middle of nowhere, it's a lot less.
Yeah.
What about just suburbia?
Pretty much on my house. If I put a smiley on the shed roof, you'd be able to read it.
It'd have to be, what, two by two? Roughly?
Four? reckon if it was 4 meters in diameter.
Yeah, that's alright.
I mean, yeah.
Thereabouts.
You can pick out lane markings on the roads fairly easily.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Three by three
would be.
Yeah. The trick is to get the contrast. So if you've got a dark roof, then you want to probably put a white thing on it, and vice versa. If you've got a light roof, you can go from black.
Because all cars seem hazy when you see them on.
It's because they're moving. You're talking about the ones
but
that are moving?
It depends how old the images and where you're
looking.
There's a huge array of stuff from 20 years ago through to now that are all different qualities on the way. It's
busy day. I saw the Google car the other day. Well, I assume it was a Google car. It had the black thing on the roof.
Did it say Google? Or did it say TomTom? Because TomTom's been getting around Adelaide lately.
It was a white car with green labels on the side.
Yeah, it probably would have.
Yeah.
So you didn't wrap up ahead and get out and...
Well, that was what I was trying to do, but the problem is it was Gallipoli Drive, and it just wasn't possible with... I couldn't do anything like that.
Someone was on a highway somewhere, someone did that and had a session on the front, bonnet their car. Two of them going out of there, bonnet their car. The
car went past.
So do you know there's some woman flashed?
They'll just blur it out, yeah.
Yeah,
they just blur it out.
Blurring that out.
That'd be a job. What do you do for a job?
It's computerized.
Has he published it?
Automated to take faces and it could blur.
There's a, have you noticed, because in Sydney, there's a puzzle cache that's for a flash mob. But basically, but unlike the flash mobs here, but it's actually a flash mob where you got to go to the Google. Have any of you guys done it or seen it?
Which one?
And it's basically in Sydney, and you go to some of the Google Maps to Street View at a certain date. And basically, obviously, a lot of people have organised a mob, like, all dressed up in different, like, costumes and animals. And you obviously then just got to, it's a logic one. So you just got to go, you got to count how many cows there are and how many people, you know, there's one person with a poster with X numbers and, you know, how many of them. So it's actually pretty easy. But it's actually like a full block, like, you actually have to, like, properly, you know...
I'm not sure that one was, we can go to a certain date and find the aeroplane on Google Earth.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one too, as well,
We had one with the airship as well.
Yeah, the blimp.
The blimp was in one particular...
Is that top of Mum Bar, where the bench used to be?
Yeah.
You had to go and find the blimp and get the name of the blimp or something. Yeah.
With the it was a Qantas plane coming into land across the North Adelaide Parkland.
Oh, yeah, that one.
And
you
had to work out what sort of plane it was.
Oh, really?
You had to work out the brand of the plane.
Brand of the plane?
Yeah, which would be... Because it had a big red tail, because that's where you tell the Qantas one.
So?
Which would be Airbus.
No, like the Qantas, the brand of the
plane. Oh, the brand of the plane. Not... You're talking about the brand or the company that owns it?
The painting on the plane.
Actually,
the company that owns it.
It's painted red for Qantas.
Yeah, so this... Anyway, so this is it. So... I don't know if you guys want to check this one out. GC7Q.
Yeah.
H8E. And so GC7Q H8E. It's in Sydney. This is basically all that you
have to go.
This. Yeah. So see them all? They're all like lined up.
Oh.
And they're all in costumes actually. So that's some people like banana costumes and cow costumes.
Did you walk up
all this stuff? And you have to. And then obviously it's a pretty simple one. You just got to, number of people
did
dressed as
green
peas and number of people.
Did
Mexican
anyone have any
masks.
Shoe about it?
So it was a little one.
Like,
suddenly like a one and a half. One and a half.
Don't care.
But it's all based on street. Well, he's got his Street View one where you drive around the walls of your peninsula looking for.
Was it a signpost or a tree?
Oh, really?
Did you sell me a puzzle on the Yorks?
Yes, Featherweight told me to do that.
Seems to be mine, apparently.
It's yours.
I'm just going
to
claim it because it's not actually mine.
Well,
there's a puzzle put out in the Yorks, and it's got this person's got one hide. No finds, just one hide. I got thrown under the bus that it's my cache.
Oh, really? Another alias of yours.
Yeah, apparently.
He's got two aliases now. He's got Liberal to Labour.
And GPS.
And he's got the other one.
Liberal to Labour.
Is it Liberal to Labour?
I need to... Can you get me 200 caches?
Containers?
Yep.
Yeah?
I've got an idea.
Okay. Do you want logbooks as well?
Yeah, that'd be good.
Your room up in York Minster soon.
It's not going on Yorks.
Good one fit over
there's
there.
There's a spot on.
There's 200 spots.
Near. Between Swan Reach and Blanchetown on the right side.
Oh, there's heaps of room in there.
There's heaps of room in there.
You could do whatever you want.
Hey, do you know, actually, you know what I was thinking?
Go for it.
Where it goes.
200 where it goes.
No, was it 81 where it goes?
No, I'm
yeah,
not.
Well, I saw you were at 81 where it goes.
That's Shingley's not going to publish a DT grid of 81 where it goes.
There's no
reason. So in Texas, there was one just for their Geo Woodstock. There was 81 where it goes with all the different
one
locations
page,
and
one,
the DT.
Do you just make another alias that no
is
one?
There's no reason he won't publish it. You just got to make sure that you get the DTs
yeah,
right.
The trains right.
Just put it all on the ground.
You can't. Yeah, you can't have them sitting on the side of the road if they're a five terrain.
It is for a person in a wheelchair.
The guys at work today, we had some plumbers in and they had to refit some plumbing. They had a single piece ladder that was easily 6 metres long.
Yeah,
it was probably closer to 8 metres long.
Mm.
It was just a single piece ladder, not an extension.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they were.
What did they
do? Yeah, it was at least 6. It was probably 7 metres.
How did they get... Just chuck it on the roof of
the
car.
Just chuck
van.
It on the roof of the van. And then that was for areas where they couldn't get that to it without a cherry picker. The cherry picker would have been perfect for up. In fact, you could chain it there and charge people to go.
Yeah, that's right. Rent it out.
We were thinking about renting one of them cherry pickers and going to get some of them, but... Cases up in a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Which ones?
Blackadder's
one.
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
that on the corner there. You just use
no,
a ladder.
Particularly high.
Just buy.
We've just had too many problems with ladders in the car.
It'd
so.
Be cheaper to buy $100 telescopic ladder.
When you were saying about lots of room, do you know, because when I was working out in the desert there, in the Cooper Basin, I was actually thinking, oh, maybe I'll do like a GOR out there. But then I'd have to like freaking maintain it, so I couldn't.
The thing is, one of those things, it maintains itself.
Mm.
Like, people will, like, you put 200 caches out in
the imagine
charger.
Doing 200 caches, like, around Moomba sort of thing. Like, we don't like
so. Or could you put it out, then later on, like, adopt it out?
You're not allowed to get out of the car.
Nah, no one's going to adopt it.
No,
it's like fishing tails.
Right, actually,
like that,
like
that 868 cases.
But you didn't. You
they maintain themselves.
In a Minka
because he's one of the CEOs. He won't ever drive down there and replace them.
It's not really frowned.
It's more like
people
will go down there with 50 cases in their bag, and they'll just chuck them down. Doesn't matter.
You can't really drink.
Well, you don't have to, but at least at Inaminka you might go and get a.
Yeah, you can go get a burger, a
pasty, or a.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah,
just no beer.
Imagine that if you put 200 warigos out, that'd attract a lot of people.
Yeah, we were crossing the Simpson Desert on the rig road, and we were camped by the tree.
Oh, yeah.
There was a spot where there was just one tree, and we were camped there, and we were cooking tea and tucking on some beers, and this oil rig crew sort of came up. It went driving past like 6 vehicles. The last vehicle came over to us, gives a beer.
Oh, yeah.
They took a beer each and then disappeared. They weren't very polite about it. It was afterwards we said we felt abused.
I'm pressured.
You must give us a beer.
Use and abuse. Yeah.
It was more just give us a beer. Well, they probably had a long day.
Yeah. Still.
Yeah. But that's. But and on that trip, we stopped at a rig in the middle of nowhere, and the crew that had come off shift got two cartons of beer in a rubbish bin full of ice, and we consumed all of those and then jumped back in the car and they went back to sleep. So the rigs had wet messes back then.
Oh, I was going to say
this was about 84.
Yeah, that would have been right.
Yeah.
So these days it's pretty much zero tolerance out there.
The rigs have zero.
The rigs are zero.
Moomba, you can have two. You can only buy two.
Yeah, Moomba. Yeah, that's right. There's some. There's limit now.
Yeah.
Now everyone will go
forward. What was that comment, Layside?
Well, I think the host should host the show if we're going to.
Did
start
you say you put that cash under publishing, Monty? -4?
Yeah.
Where'd you put the post-it? At Etihad?
Yes, in the middle of Etihad Stadium.
It hasn't been published.
No, it hasn't been published. Well, that's what I said. He knocked it back, or she knocked it back last night.
So he hasn't been published. Like, you haven't put it back again?
Yeah, I've resubmitted it with... I've got two choices. So they won't publish it as a mystery. I went back to him and said, there are plenty of multis out there where there's...
Mm.
You don't actually have
there's nothing
to
be found at the
there's nothing to be found at the posted coordinates. They're just... In, as in this case,
well, all of Philips' ones are all dual projection straight away, like the T5 series.
So it only has to be something at the post for GeoArt.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. So there's nothing. So
your GeoArt's a full stop.
No. Which one?
The one that he's done.
No. For GeoArt, it doesn't matter.
No, I'm saying, but that you can say that's a GeoArt.
No,
that's
opposite.
A full stop.
Opposite. If it was GeoArt, then it has to have something. Has to have a
that's
visit.
Why there's a mint tint.
Actually,
next
has
to
have a. That's why there's mint tints next to caches along the unicorn series.
Oh, sorry, okay.
Because there had to be something.
Sorry,
physically.
I get you.
So in a normal multi, it's just a set of coordinates that you do something with. In this case, you take -4 from the south and -4 from the east.
Look, my cache on a cannon that finishes in Tasmania, there's nothing there, it's just a cannon.
There's a cannon there, though.
But there doesn't need to be a cannon.
You don't need
it's
that
a,
information.
Just a basic projection.
Which I actually think that's. I don't like those,
what?
By the way.
Don't you get
the
information
from
the
cannon
if you want,
so
but there's nothing
that's
on the cannon.
One. The second choice is that I listed as a letterbox.
It's just projection.
Oh, right.
Where do you get the numbers to the projection?
Which
you
may
just
or
do,
may
it's
not
simple
work
maths.
Either, but I'm going to pursue the multi-case.
Yeah, multi
is
more.
The multi, I think.
Right, it's a lesser of two evils. It's a lesser of two evils.
It's a puzzle.
So hang on, so why can't she...
So his cannon one, you can go to the cannon.
Because she's saying that he's still
needs
to find something.
Yeah, whereas mine's just a maths equation.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not part of
GeoArt.
No,
it's not part of
GeoArt.
Well, only for GeoArt is something...
It's a projection, yeah.
They're both projections, but his is a multi, yours is a puzzle.
Yeah, but mine's a multi because it finished... It's got two long...
The thing is, though, because yours is really a mystery... But but obviously that you just bypass the, you know, what it is, the 1 mile.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. I was sure
it
was just the two mile requirement.
Yeah, 2 mile. So that's the thing. So it's like, really, it's not really in the
spirit of
multis. Multis should be like you find something. There's something physical at the post.
Tame and Shard.
Sounds like
there's nothing.
Which,
well, there's a grave, but they're not what... They're useless to you.
I was thinking that same, but that's... I still think yours should be a mystery.
But he wouldn't let it as a mystery because the distance between the grave site and where the cache is, or was, is 15 kilometres.
But even though you find something very close to where the person coordinates are, so that mystery should point you to the corners, which then points you 15 km away.
Yeah, but you don't find that. No, they won't. He wouldn't... Ian
wouldn't
publish a cache on that basis.
Okay, but multi.
Although I suspect Bungle would have.
Yeah.
Because we did have a conversation about mysteries, and they said if I had another set of coordinates near mine that pushed you out that far, they might have thought about that. The other choice they had, the other one is the Blair Athol project, which is really a mystery.
Okay.
But the reality is it's published as a multi, and people go to the listed coordinates and look for stuff.
Mm.
When all the information they need is on the cache plate.
Really?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't done that one.
Yeah.
It's not far from anyone for tennis.
Hurdle's in that one. The three caches are Hurdle, Claire, Mark Claire, and Nigel.
Uh-huh.
They're the three caches who are lost in Blair Athol. And spooky things are happening. And Mark throws the GPS away.
Such a Mark
thing
to do. Foreseeing
something before it happened there?
I can't remember. Yeah, maybe it was.
That was a very old cache. Though.
That was a very old cache, but Claire's scared.
Is that frozen feet?
Yeah, frozen feet. And Nigel freaks out somewhere in the. It's all lines from the movie.
Blair Witch,
from the script. Yeah, just some of them played around with just a little bit too.
Yeah, right. And that's why it's funny actually you say that though, Monty, because ever since I got burned from your Tamam Shard, I've actually gone through multis to, like, I'm not similar to the camera one sort of thing, where you actually go through, do multis ahead of time, because also some of them that like there's one of Astro's where you actually, you know, the sign's gone, so he gives it to you in the gallery,
yes,
the gallery,
yeah.
And so you know some of them you can actually now do ahead of time.
Or his, I mean his Comet Aragunda, where you needed the PDF.
Oh, yeah.
PDF.
And there's no reception.
Yeah, there's no reception there.
Yeah,
that's a dick.
Yeah,
that's the one of Blinman, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
that's
south of Blinman.
And then there's the other one at Arcarola.
I've bought an Optus SIM card now, so I can go there and get phone coverage.
But do they have the little
micro system?
You
could just print the sheet off.
Yeah, that's right.
All those antennas, they all have Optus.
Yeah, they all have little Optus micro systems.
All right.
Inaminka's got an Optus.
Yeah, right.
And Mungarani.
Yeah.
Where were we? Yeah. Oh, that was on the way to Wentworth.
Maralinga. Maralinga had a little micro Optus.
Kenny Park, the town across the Northern Territory border was Optus.
Marla?
The border. We turn off the edge rock.
Colgra.
But if you had all those, like, those towers that are out there, that would be. And you put a 4G on it.
Yeah.
There'd be heaps, like that one just out of Wentworth.
And they just run them off satellite, I think.
Yeah.
They must have a.
There'd be heaps of towers out there.
But the microwave link's run by Telstra anyway.
They have their own.
No, Optus don't, because you need to run it in the tower, and they're Telstra towers. Because that tower,
they just pay them.
Breaker, that one, that Acacia mine that's in the Northern Flinders.
Mm.
That I couldn't work out what this tower was here, but it's actually a microwave link
the,
for the for the
station. Peninsula. At Curry was always a mobile phone dead zone for years and years.
It's because you're
in a little hole.
Yeah.
And they Optus went put a tower up out of town with a microwave link up to somewhere north of York Peninsula.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, half the town was on Optus. So is that the word of the town?
That was worked in the town, so everybody got it.
And about 5 years later, Telstra caught onto this fact that this was happening, and they put their own tower up in the middle of town.
Oh, yeah.
Good old Curry.
The Optus are obviously going around and finding these spots where there are people and no Telstra coverage.
Yeah,
and
right.
Up and just
smart, though, actually.
Yeah, it's by people will go for it.
Well, I went and bought one for it, so...
Karamalka.
So is that dual SIM?
Yeah. Although it doesn't do dual 4G. You can only do one on 4G at a time. It only does dual 2G.
So,
which is useless in Australia.
So you can get calls on both SIMs?
If one of them's 2G, but because there's no 2G in Australia anymore, it doesn't work. You get us pick one of the other, switch your 4G between
So you just switch, you just tell it which SIM you want
to
use.
Whereas if you go to Europe where there's 2G, you do both simultaneously.
It's funny actually that I always, because this is dual SIM as well, but when I was in Vietnam, I bought another SIM card. And it doesn't actually necessarily mean that you got two SIM card slots.
Does it?
No, it's like, I still got one SIM card slot. The other one is some E sort of, you need to program it a certain way and all that. I'm like, oh, I didn't end up investigating it.
I've got two, actually. Got two
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, this has two.
Mine takes two SIM cards.
Oh.
It probably does. You just got it.
Yeah, maybe
yeah,
it's
they
just
go. They go on both sides of that pin that goes in. They
yeah,
go
it's back
side.
To back, is it?
Yeah.
Well, I'm an idiot then. All right, there you go.
So you bought. So you, what did you do with the Vietnamese?
No, I actually, to be honest, left the Vietnamese one in the whole time, and it was actually nice because I would, you know, if, I mean, obviously people could still contact me via Facebook and email, but I didn't get any message, SMS, no phone calls, nothing like that.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
which would have been all work calls anyway. So
same as went on in Europe.
Yeah,
but you take Australia one out to go overseas, that's where you don't get charged.
Yeah.
Well, usually I leave it on data roaming. Oh, sorry, as in sorry, I turn off data roaming, but I still.
I think
have
Europe, I leave it on Wi-Fi.
Europe, yeah, exactly.
Europe, you've got to have data roaming on because to go between countries in Europe, you have to have data roaming.
Not if you're just on Wi-Fi. So what I do?
No, but if you
so I'll go
in
here and I'll turn
France and we get
mobile data off
to Germany. It still costs the same cost. But you still got to roam.
Yeah. Okay.
So you have to have
mobile
roam
data off and what's the other one?
Usually it's just like for me, it's like a data roaming and mobile data.
Yeah. And then you just pick it up on Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi, yeah. And then somebody places.
You said the testicle in a. A plastic container was the original case?
That was... that is a long story there. So the original container that went out there was a metal case that a drill had gone through.
So so this is Dan Where's the Kayak, which is in the Torrens there, that Connor and I, Rich and I attempted a couple of nights ago.
So the original container was this metal case, probably a foot by 6 inches high. And I put it out on the island. It got published. the cache actually only lasted out there about a week. So they had a cleanup of the island. They had a cleanup of the island, and I got this call from somebody. Because I'd left my phone number in the cache, and this was like early days, and I got this call from this woman who said, "I found your box. It sounds like a fun game, but what they'd done is they'd gone across the island, got everything that they thought was rubbish and thrown that over onto the footpath, and then were putting it all in a pile. She'd grabbed the case because it looked interesting to her.
Opened it up,
realised it was a cache, contacted me. So we then arranged to meet somewhere in Adelaide where we would meet outside Parliament House. So she was standing outside Parliament House, and she gave me the contents of the cache because she actually liked the case.
What?
I wanted to keep it for herself.
No,
like that was okay. That was fine. I didn't have a problem with it. So the replacement was the little decor box because I had a box of about five of those. I had some samples come, and I reckon I had half a dozen samples, and I used. You'll find some of the. Another one of those is The Beds Are Burning. So The Beds Are Burning is a cache up out at Wilpena Power.
Okay.
And if you ever do that one, you'll find it's the same decor container. And so that container's been there since about 2004.
Mm. Wow. Shows you how long plastic lasts.
Yeah, but as long as it doesn't have the sun on it.
Well, yeah, that's right.
That overgrowth.
Yeah.
Well, do you know, and you would have seen that.
But there should be at least one more container there.
That
which
was three LGs.
Which, well, the next container that I put out there, because people weren't finding
that one.
I then put out a one litre Sistema, because then I'd worked out you needed to have sealed containers. That was what 3LG found, and he put a... But it was all soaking inside, and he put a 120 mil inside that.
See, I reckon that's gone because we had a pretty decent. I mean,
but we're going back to you two. Remember,
the track record's not good here.
Your track record's not good.
What's not good?
We started this conversation with you couldn't find your own cage.
But that's a bison tube in a tree.
This is a preforming of better reeds.
Hang on, says the two that found a 2004 cache. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah, you did.
So that no one else could find. Actually, in saying that though, like, so the previous people before us said they couldn't find it, except they found a testicle and a thing. So they obviously found that one, didn't think it was the cache and left it.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting if they're watching that and they'll see what we found and go, okay, we actually found the cache and to like change their locks.
The blob of paper mache.
Yeah.
So now I've got to go out and replace that.
Can I come with you?
I was going to say,
haven't you done it?
Oh, really? Because we were happy to like help with the Torrance ones.
Just put a ladder
Torrance
for you.
Wants to try with a ladder. Try and lay ladder.
Thanks for saying that.
Bruce walked there. Bruce,
you could jump across.
Yeah, wasn't Brazel did a ladder
bridge? Yeah, but a couple of people have done ladder bridges.
And then they waited.
Need a long ladder.
You need a long ladder, but they've done ladder bridges been done twice. Bruce actually got, I think, the first to find. And what he did was he stripped off, walked through the mud, climbed onto the island, found the cache, logged it, walked back, and then Liz looked at him and said, "No, you can walk home." he was too stinky, and they lived in North Adelaide, so he wasn't even allowed into the house until he sprayed himself.
One year they stuffed up at the weir,
the whole lake drained out.
The lake
got drained.
Yes.
And it turns out that there's a natural spit.
Yes.
That runs downstream, and people were walking out there. so in the 6 weeks. About six weeks.
He got a lot of fines.
If you look, there's this period where it gets... It had 18 fines, and then it got 18 fines in 6 weeks.
Yeah. I guess it was like TARDIS trios one where the lake got...
And there was a period... There were willow trees along there, and there was a period where a branch off one of the willow trees had fallen across and people were using that as a bridge.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And then the council came and cleaned that up. The same...
Brendo.
Yeah. The same time was... when they drained the lake, people were getting into the Cabin of the Fear.
But that one was like,
yeah, but it was about 3 meters
you
up.
You put it up then, yeah. Oh, yeah, because of the water level.
Because it was on the pipes, but because there was no water in there and you were
on the ground, yeah.
On the ground, it was a fair way up.
So this dam is where the kayak one is. Actually a really cool one because it's actually got a little island on the in the Torrens right next to the coast.
Isle of Illusions.
And,
no.
Anyway, and then it's all reeds along sort of thing. So it actually is really well hidden. And it's a little like stream that sort of just cuts around it. But it's actually like, you probably would have read my log. I thought it was a really awesome location.
Actually. Yeah.
Where is that?
I don't know how you found that.
Because I used to cycle to work.
Oh.
So I'd cycle to work and I'd go past that twice a day, 3 days a week.
Yeah.
Of
course. Yeah.
And when I started caching, I went, there's a great little spot there.
Yeah.
All I got to do is get to it. Well, we had a kayak.
Yeah, we went.
So normally I'm trying to think where I launch from.
We just went the other side of the river.
I've launched once from where Popeye is.
Yeah.
I've launched. I'm trying to think where else I've launched.
That's like where the festival theatre is, or
where the festival theatre. I drove the car down there, launched from there, and then. There was car parking. Oh, and then parked the car somewhere up on the where the behind the casino there. You could park in there.
Or you used the Morpher Street bridges where the rowing clubs are.
I've launched from there once.
The best spot is across the river. You can
across the
river's
not
jump
bad.
In.
But you could have done. I liked your log about the. You could have done it. Should have launched next to this restaurant full of people.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that the dam,
yeah.
The kayak.
But you realize the reason. That the fence is there is because under that balcony are two gondoliers.
Ah.
So the gondolas. So there's two gondolas and that's where he stores them.
Ah.
And so nobody's yet gone to the cache via gondola. That's
I've never seen the gondolas. How often did they come
break this? I have to look at them.
I pointed the gondolas out to you the other week.
Yeah, there was a guy gone.
Mm-hmm. It's always really busy on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
He stores them under the restaurant.
Yeah, but he keeps them under the restaurant.
Oh.
That's where. If you're there in the daytime, you can see
right.
Sort of bobbing around, up and down.
Where was that? Oh, that was when we went to this one last time.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I've seen him a couple of times, and his name's Roger. Roger the gondolier. And Astro, he hired one of the paddle boats, which you're not supposed to take past the bridge, and told the guy, "I'm going to be gone for a while. I'll be back." And he went and did it that way. That was the way he did it.
Oh, like you know those ones that.
That'd
be a good way to do it. Do they still have them anymore?
Yeah, he's still got them.
I guess you could do the beer boy as well and go across there.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty good.
the barbecue.
The barbecue, yeah.
Go and do Cabin of Fear.
Yeah, in the barbecue.
Yeah.
I don't think it'd fear you. Those barbecues are fairly big.
Yeah, those ones wouldn't.
Oh,
yeah. I reckon that one wouldn't be able to fit through.
So I've got to come up with a waterproof container that can hang off one of those tech screws.
I reckon a few.
Just get a PVC cut. Two or three PVC pipes
yeah,
inside of each other,
two
and
or three,
just
yeah.
half fill it with concrete.
Yeah.
It'll sink.
Don't want it to sink.
You want it to lay on top of the water.
Or do I want it to?
I reckon you need to hop out underneath the water.
You need to tie it to that thing, like
so
fishing line. Pretty.
Yeah.
Not fishing line. I'll do it with wire rope. I've got some wire rope.
Oh, wire rope.
Yeah, wire rope, and have that tied off
with
wire rope.
Drill some holes through the PVC and then put another PVC inside of it or something.
Yeah,
I did have an underwater cache once that had aluminium foils as the logbook. So,
well, I said to Cape Standard Bridge that I really need to publish at least this one because this one's a really good one. But my one that's on
you don't publish caches, you just place.
I just place it and then pretend to. Be a cache
Think
owner. It's a cache owner with zero maintenance. But I've got
just
one.
You're just someone that dumps
plastic
out.
It'll be a
diamond
one.
Yeah, I've got one. Like I actually placed a lot 2 months ago, and it's one in one of the wrecks. And I just use a PVC height, and it's that's basically the logbook sort of thing. So you just on the outside.
So it's on the outside.
Yeah, but unlike the ones that are the idiotic ones overseas, we have to actually bring it to surface, then open it, pencil with logbook, and then do another dive and place.
It's going to get wet. You can never seal something like that.
So stuff that. So I'm like, well, this is consciously wet.
There's a diving cage.
The only one you could do is a wax pencil one where it's a slate inside there.
Well, do you know, and this is the thing, because I obviously got dive slates, and then I was like, they're actually really expensive. I'm like, well, maybe I'll make it my own. And then people have made them their own, actually grabbed the PVC pipe and then obviously cut it so it's obviously a little bit angular, and then use that as a dive slate with a pencil and a razor.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, why am I? Because I was going to do a Sistema, and then obviously open that purposely wet with a dive slate in it to sign as your logbook with a pencil inside. And I'm like, why am I making something where it can double as the container? Similar to obviously the ones that you've done.
And then the thing is, a PVC, that'll lock down with sand and all the crap that happens under the
water. So, funny enough, actually, so I actually hid some contents in, including a few pencils, so people could unscrew it and all that. And I put in a few weights in it inside as well. So people could log it in their pencil. And then I got in the water and I tried undoing it, and it just locked.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, well, look.
If I can't do this, is yeah.
But anyway, funnily enough, actually, then I had the next week. My diving group went and did the wreck, and they actually saw it, because what I'd done, and for those who will find it, basically, it's half black with an intentional white rectangle, so it actually looks like camouflage with a purpose. And anyway, but they actually saw the white bit from afar. Actually grabbed it and then actually opened it and saw that I put in Scuba Club stubby holders in, and knew it was me because I obviously had access to that sort of stuff. So they obviously undid it and was fine, sort of thing. So anyway, it's not essential for you to open it, but the foolproof is obviously just make sure you take your pencil underwater. So, but anyway, I mean that's the thing. That's more. It feels like that's the easiest way to go, is pencil, and because I even investigated this waterproof paper, and then obviously using that as a logbook and all sort of thing, but I'm pretty sure they're not, a little bit of splash of water is fine, but to be actually 100% water, yeah, like I don't think that's actually, yeah, it's gonna last. So anyway, it's on my list. I'll do it this weekend.
Is that gonna happen?
That one I want. It's not gonna be a simple Freddo. I'll chuck a few words in and publish it. This one, I actually want to put photos in and say, hey, like, give actual instruction to where it should be found on the wreck, and not like, hey, spend
how many kilometers offshore? Is this one of these ones that's out?
Yeah, it's pretty close. So it's like, I think it's like a couple of k's.
Okay.
That's gonna annoy Freddo.
It's gonna annoy.
Have to get my diving gear back. My brother had it last time. Well, it's not my diving gear. It was my younger brother Chris, was his diving gear, but we all used it. And then my other brother John took it, disappeared with it.
Are you just mute it now? So the interesting part, I've told Bridge this.
And she came up and said, there's nothing down there. And I said, turn around 180 degrees and try that way.
Yeah.
And so she went, that time she saw it, reached for it, didn't have enough breath to grab it. But she knew where it was then. And it's heavy. I think it was heavier than
weighted.
She
is. Is it
bottom? It's weighted.
Full of wax.
Yeah, it's I think it's got lead in it. But it's waxed to keep it in there.
So I was the last person that found it in December 2017, and I'll show you what. I hope I got one good photo. Hey, that's me. Me, my little fatty.
Oh.
So, yeah, so that was my dive camera, my strobes, and yeah.
Yeah, so we went
Dog Creek.
We went on a day, we picked a moment when the tide was like 0.1 of a meter.
Was it?
Yeah.
Salt Creek.
We were actually standing on rocks.
Yeah. So that's the thing. So obviously they say always do a low tide, and I reckon I only met them actually a couple of weeks ago. But they said, yeah, like I'm the only person to have found it in I thought we went out in low tide.
Oh, you probably did, but there's low tide and there's low tide.
Yeah, that's right. The low tide of day versus actual. Yeah. So, and I've seen your photos because I did a lot of research.
Yeah.
And obviously the water was like that to reach my knees.
But it makes it harder to find the damn thing.
Oh, it was freaking like, yeah.
Because you're looking for a hole.
You wouldn't.
Yeah, so it still was like sinkhole in the rocks sort of thing. So it does this sort of thing.
It was two sinkholes, pretty soft.
Oh, is it two? Because I never end up doing the multi, because there's a multi that says you can't have any sinkholes out.
Yeah, there's two sinkholes. Oh. So, and the cache is in the tunnel between them.
Oh, so that's the thing. I thought it would just be at the bottom. No, you have to actually get right in.
Well, you actually may have come in from the wrong sinkole. If you found the other sinkhole, it may actually be in the
cache. I saw a couple, but I couldn't really zoom clearly because...
Yeah, because
the ocean was up. But now I know, I couldn't actually solve that one anymore. I was there to say how many sinkholes there are.
Two.
Oh,
so okay. Tea tree crossings only.
Oh, that's good actually, because
it's a.
If you walked across there.
But Andrew wouldn't publish it, so it went to it. And if you look who's published it, it's published by HQ. He wouldn't even press. Even though they approved it for publishing, he still wouldn't touch it.
That's not
interesting.
Oh
yeah.
Yeah. Which is unusual, and published by Kathy too.
Or whether you
I've seen others that are published by Groundspeak. Yeah.
That's where it came out.
Oh, you had a DNF.
Which came out that way.
That was a drive-by DNF.
Oh, yeah. Right.
We went there one day on the basis that we'll do this cache, but it was the tide was not conducive, and it was cold and windy and yucky. We went there, drove there, looked from a distance and went, no, we're not doing this today, we'll go find some other cache.
Yeah, there's actually the cache goes across and comes up the other hole.
His challenge is to actually go through one of his things, because the other cache that's there is at his father's shack. It's a family shack. Or his uncle's shack or something like that. So unicycle goes to the sea things that he does is to do a dive through.
And he's
done it, you know, sort of, he does it every year. The year is not properly done until he's actually done the dive through.
Oh, that's cool. I'd love to do it now that I know that it connects.
But you couldn't actually if you were going to dive through there with air, you'd have to just do it on a pony.
No, and that's the thing.
You couldn't take a full.
No, you couldn't, and that's the thing. Like, I knew I wasn't, my cave dive gear has a 2 meter reg sort of thing because I have to donate and all that sort of thing. So I could probably leave it on one side and
swim through. When we did Stark in here or. What's Zitherin's one where I dropped it into the water?
That little cave.
Hello, Will You Go?
Hello,
Will You Go? That one. Well, it's not a cave. It's a mine.
Yeah.
I've
seen that video
So that was a Bowie, and a Bowie is a cave diver, and he had a little pony tank,
right?
Which has got about 5 minutes worth of air on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Used to be.
Sorry?
Oh, they just got an email saying the principal of St Anne's College is quitting on the 13th at the end of semester.
Is that because they can't get people to fill the place?
No, she's a bit old.
That means she's 23.
No, she'd be...
She wants to retire.
Take it really carefully here.
Remember, you've been recorded.
She's hard to tell. 70?
Yeah, that's old.
To be looking after 150 20-year-olds, that's hard work.
Has she been doing for 70 years, or is she...
No, she's been there for about...
Were you ever at St. Mark's?
No, you were Lincoln.
I told you
he was at Lincoln.
Yeah, you told me that. But I thought you were... St. Mark's is the one down on...
near
Adelaide. I thought you lived in that one.
In the
cream brick buildings. It's on Ward Street.
Yeah.
Well, it runs between Ward Street. Does it actually run all the way back on
Ward Street to Royal Brown Place?
It does.
It doesn't go a full length, that block, but there's about half of that.
That's a big place in there. How many buildings?
There's three main buildings plus eight little small things around there.
So how many? So he, yours is 150.
Well, ours holds 190 something.
Yes, yeah, so we were over 200 easily. Well over 200.
You'd probably be closer to 400, I think.
Ours is pretty big.
Although you're all single rooms,
and one of the, yours is bigger, but we've got like one of the buildings is what, 1, 2, 6 stories high.
Yeah, we had only 4 stories high, and the bottom floor wasn't used for.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, one of the bottom floors is just a car park.
Same in yours.
But ours is a maze. It goes everywhere.
So ours only had 3 buildings.
Because you've got that impressive looking building at the front.
Which is the original building.
But nothing's in there.
And that's the admin stuff. And then there's some rooms in there, but they're crap. And then they built a new section on the side, on the where the church is up on the hill. That's 3 stories. That's the 6 stories, but 4 stories of that is a common, like, people's rooms. I'm in there. And then you've got the place that they're building down on the bottom where the tennis court is and the rose garden, but there's a, that faces onto Melbourne Street.
Yeah.
That's 3 or 4. Maybe,
oh, it
maybe
goes all the way down
easy.
To Melbourne Street.
Yeah, so we've got Melbourne Street and up to Brown Place.
Okay.
So, and that's what we call Tasmania because it's so far away. And there's a, it's a round, it's like a round room, and then like it's a, there's a, in the middle of the building's a like little courtyard thing, and everybody's rooms around that either side.
Because Aquinas, I reckon Aquinas would only have 100 people.
They
in there.
Built a new thing there.
They're massive. They're about the same size as us.
Are they?
Us and Marks are the biggest in population.
I only ever went there once with my sister lived there. So.
No, but we have. More
I didn't. I mean,
we have more people attend. Well, it must be attendance on sports events now, because Lincoln.
Oh yeah, Lincoln has over international students that you should never see.
We have like 10. I remember at the ball last year, we had 10 international students that live in it. Like, who are you? They just hibernate. They just hang out with their own little cluster of people.
Okay. Well, I might go. It's nearly 9 o'clock. We should start at the end. Where's the boys?
Where's Scuzzy Bear?
Scuzzy. Who else was coming? Janine. You said Janine.
Yeah,
yeah.
Scuzzy.
Who's Janine?
Scuzzy Bear.
Scuzzy, where are you?
But she did say something about.
She said she'll come halfway.
Oh, really?
The hurdle hasn't been coming too much lately.
Yeah, you're here.
That's all right.
He went to the lunch. No, he's been stuck.
It's because you won't let him on the committee.
Geez,
that
he knew about the committee. He's known about it for years.
He just wanted to be an ass. Geez, that caused some commotion. You're gone.
Although there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people that say it's a secret organisation.
There's parts of.
I wanted
to
comment
saying
there's a reason why you're not on the board because you're a fucking
asshole.
Because I was the. Like, can't say that. I mean, the positive. The glass half full take out of this is like.
Don't record this.
The fact that. Like, you see one of the. Oh, you're not on Facebook. But someone from New South Wales.